This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Happy New Year. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provide signature support for our program. And as always, we encourage you to chime in if you are so inclined at 877-217-5757. You can send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. We start with Rudy Macklin, 29 years now, head of the Governor's Council on he's the director of the Governor's Council on Physical Fitness in Louisiana, and he practices what he preaches. Many know Rudy from his days at LSU. He was on the best team in the history of LSU basketball, 1981, 40 years now. We need to do something in March, 40 years since the Final Four. But it was 31-5, 26 game winning streak, 17-1 in the SEC, and a team for the ages that just fell short of the national title. But Rudy retired from Tiger Town as the leading rebounder in the history of the school, and he still is. Not Shaq, not Bob Pettit, it's Rudy Macklin. And Rudy's the second leading scorer in the history of Louisiana State University basketball. And the leading scorer is, of course, the guy who scored more points than anybody in the history of major college basketball, Pete Maravich. 877-217-5757. Today's the busiest day of the year for gymnasiums. All these gyms, they are locked and ready to go, locked and loaded for an influx of customers who come on the first Monday of the year with all their New Year's resolutions, and they have good intentions, and then somehow along the way, each week, the crowds get a bit more sparse. Rudy, why is it that people give up so quickly?
Well, this is a different time now because of COVID-19. A lot of people really are not going to flock to the gyms like as before because they still want to, you know, keep their distance. And if you want to attract some serious germs, you can attract germs at a gym. But a lot of people are doing their thing at home now in groups. And the reason why quite a few folks fall off the bandwagon, so to speak, is because a lot of people try to attempt to achieve their New Year's resolutions by being healthy and staying active by themselves. And they need to have a partner or partners or a group of people to keep everybody motivated and encouraged and not to try to do it alone. And so when we start our wellness programs statewide, we notice a drop after the first month. And we have to have all type of incentives and keep people engaged with one another to keep them just for till April. We tried to do ours from January to April because you go any longer, you're going to lose a lot of people. But this time around, we promote being healthy and eating right is a way of fighting this coronavirus, which is studies have proved those who are in good shape and eat right and get plenty of rest and really and avoid stress do better with coronavirus.
Well, Rudy is the fittest 62-year-old man I know. And we are exactly the same age. We went to school together. He was a big man on campus. I was not. But he's still a big guy, and he's not gotten fat. And it's amazing how athletes seem to go one way or the other. Some continue to fight the fight, and then others kind of let themselves go. And when you have a reunion, that's in full bloom, isn't it?
It is, and I look at the guys that have let themselves go, and I tease them, and I let them know, and I stay on them. And some of them still call me privately to say, okay, Rudy, I need to make a change. I say, yes, you do. And so we talk about it, and I said, I want you all to live as long as you can and encourage others. But it's always a constant battle. It's more of a mental battle than anything to get out there and to really take the time to discipline yourself to eat correctly and be physically active.
All right. Laurie downtown asks, if you're going to the gym these days, are you?
No, I am not. I'm not going to the gym these days. I just I'm recovering from a foot surgery, and I had a bad toe that I hurt back in the days of playing in the NBA, and it didn't heal right.
And there's a story behind that story too.
Yeah, I was playing in the Boston Garden, and I was trying to outrun Larry Bird for a loose ball. Okay, now you know that. And there was a crack in the old Boston Garden floor.
The old parquet floor.
Oh, it was a horrible floor, worst gym in the whole NBA, and I jammed the toe. I actually broke it, and I told the trainer to tape that toe to the next toe and put me back out there because I had an incentive bonus coming up for the number of minutes that I played. And I just put it in the whirlpool and taped that toe for several games and kept playing with it, and, well, it just didn't heal right. And finally, the base of the toe, the joint, just was shattered. So they had to go and put an implant in there.
Yeah,
so
I'm recovering. Surgery then.
Yeah, surgery. So I'm recovering, but I'm walking now. And but I do avoid gyms because there's a lot of germs there. I know a lot of gyms have done, you know, take good time to sanitize their gyms and people keep people social distance, but it's really tough. And so, but I do a lot at home in my neighborhood with the walking. When I start back full time working out, hopefully things have gotten better and I can. But I still, I'm a runner. I love to run too, and I'm not able to run. That hurts me. Well, but I'm still going to encourage others as much as I can.
And you don't look like you're packing on the pounds, though.
Well, I always take the time to eat right. You can't fashion one without the other. You have to eat right and be physically active. And so I got a eating regimen that I have that I adopted from Pennington Biological Center, as a matter of fact. And it's really helped me tremendously. I've been doing it now for like 20 years.
Don't smoke.
No smoke. Don't drink. You know. So
not at all.
A little Crown Royal every now and then.
But not that often.
No, I don't really drink. Since I've had my prostate cancer surgery, and it's one of the things you have to do is eat right, be physically active, man, avoid alcohol, very much,
really?
Lots of alcohol, and I've always done that.
Well, you are a medical marvel in many ways. You mentioned the prostate cancer. You've also had other surgeries. You had your gallbladder removed.
Oh, man.
Had a shoulder surgery.
Yeah, and all those NBA
and all
injuries.
the people sometimes don't appreciate the bumps
back
and bruises.
Surgery.
Yeah,
oh,
you had back surgery too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was part of that workers' comp case with the NBA, and when they examined me from head to toe and all the X-rays, I saw all these broken bones I had, and I got a problem with my vertebrae in my neck now, and my other shoulder is gonna probably go out soon, and the other side of my back may.
But you got to just keep fighting. You can't give up. And I'm amazed at how people, you know, we've got these beautiful lakes around the campus where we went to school, and some people won't go because of an ingrown toenail. And Rudy just keeps on trucking even when he's got a broken toe.
Yeah,
he's a guy who literally does what he says we should do. Now,
I found out that stretching, intense stretching, is very helpful to people our age. And for those of us who can't really do real enthusiastic or aggressive weight exercise and stretching, and yoga plays a big part. And so those two things alone can really help you for those of us that are aging.
But as of a few years ago, not that long ago, Rudy was bench pressing 450 pounds.
You know, I'd like to get back to that, but I don't think I can. I'll probably do half of that when I get back, you know, full time.
Well,
that's when my shoulder was really good.
Bench pressing your weight. Yeah, I know. I have to watch that myself. As much as I feel good, I know that I'll pay for it if I go too strong.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's all about balance.
Balance. There you go.
There you go. But let's hope people in Louisiana will heed Rudy's advice, because we have, let's face it, a state with a lot of health issues that are related to inactivity.
It is. We have some of the highest rates of pre-existing conditions and underlying conditions where we suffer from high rates of chronic disease and such as high blood pressure, hypertension, cancer, and some cancers, and also these things. Obesity is our biggest problem. We have the highest obesity rate in the entire country, and obesity crosswalks with a lot of those ailments. And so, in order to deal with, if we deal with obesity first, we can be a really healthy state, especially among people of color. When it comes to health disparities, the gap is so wide. So many people of color that suffer from preventable diseases and illnesses. And so that's what we practice now, to try to get people of color and in underserved communities to take care of better care of yourself. Yes, there may be some economic challenges. There may be some other social determinants of health, what we call it, that may prevent you in some areas, but you can still take care of yourself. Well, like we'd like to say, own your own health, so to speak, which is our program. We teach people to take advantage and take care of themselves first on the front end. And that's what we like to teach, and it's working in some really pockets of poverty that we've reached out to, and they see the light now, so now it's working pretty well.
Well, Rudy, in his endeavor as director of the Governor's Council on Physical Fitness and also head of the Bureau for Minority Health in Louisiana, he is involved in many, many activities and puts on tournaments. And the mayor of New Orleans, LaToya Cantrell, as we know, has been religious in her devotion to keeping people at a safe distance during this pandemic. But there's going to be a major event that will be an experiment of sorts. You've convinced her that the convention center is a great place to hold a volleyball tournament with thousands of participants. How did you do it, Rudy?
Well, it's not us, it's them. They determine the terms. And they said that we have to make sure that we practice all those protocols that they have. This time, everything is done online as far as registration, but also participants that want to take part in the event to come see their kids play, they have to register, get their tickets online, and only so many people can be in the convention center at one time. And so it's going to be spread out. January 16th and 17th. They're coming from 8 states, but it's going to be really spread out because we had to get 2 more halls.
So we're talking a week from this weekend,
right,
is when it will happen, and the age groups?
From 8 all the way to 17.
And we'll talk more about this with Rudy Macklin and much more when we return after this pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Rudy Macklin, one of the greatest LSU basketball players of them all. When you pick a starting five, it's pretty easy in the history of LSU. You've got the guards are Maravich and Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. The forwards are Bob Pettit and Rudy Macklin, and the center is Shaquille O'Neal. Don Shula, born on this date in 1930. He died last year, 91 years ago today, and led Miami to the Super Bowls in 72 and in 73. And the Saints are trying to win a Super Bowl for the first time in 11 years, and they've got Drew Brees healthy after breaking those ribs. He's a tough guy. He'll be 42 years old on January 15th. But career yards, 80,358 for Brees, 79,204 for Brady. Touchdowns, Brady 581, Brees 571. Interceptions, Brees 243, Brady 191. So Brady's been the better of the two, but we're talking about perhaps the two greatest quarterbacks of all time. They're both in the playoffs. They're in the same division. The Saints beat Tampa Bay twice. Saints play at home Sunday against Chicago. What do you think, Rudy?
Well, with everybody back, Kamara is a key. Mm-hmm. You got to have him back. And but Drew Brees, everything is predicated to me around the offensive line. Can they protect him? Because, you know, Brees is not the most agile quarterback in the world. And but can they Mac, the defensive end with the Bears? You got to account for him, and protecting Drew Brees and giving him time to hit those receivers and those timing routes, man, is key.
And Brady and Tampa Bay will play at Washington. The Redskins are in the playoffs with a 7-9 record. What if they won the Super Bowl, Rudy? Wouldn't that be
Washington?
By the way, they're not the Redskins anymore. They're the Washington football team. But
yeah. My buddy Doug Williams called me last week, and he said that they're looking up. That's all he could say.
They're looking up. Well, this comes up generally when you're on the show, but Rudy's involved with kids boxing at a young age in Louisiana, and some of us believe that boxing is the purest sport, and it tests everything a person has, not only physically but mentally, emotionally.
Oh, yeah.
It is a great sport, and Rudy Macklin grew up not so far away from one Muhammad Ali.
That's right.
Where was your home compared to where he grew up?
Oh,
as a kid in Louisville.
Well, it was probably, I would say, from here where you're located to probably Seguin Lane, you know, that kind of that close.
So a few miles.
Yeah, a few miles, yeah.
A few miles
mm-hmm.
apart.
Same.
And you
area.
Knew him as a kid, too.
No, I didn't really know him as a kid, but when I, my senior year, I didn't know that he
senior
fought.
Year of high school.
No, in college. I was supposed to meet with him in my freshman year. I'm sorry, my senior in high school when Denny Crum came to.
He was getting Muhammad to recruit you.
Yeah.
Dale Brown,
Dale Brown kidnapped
you. Kidnapped
me. He was taking me to see Muhammad Ali, and Dale Brown snuffed it out. Yeah, but in my senior year, he always kept up. I didn't know he kept up with all the athletes coming from Louisville, and he mm-hmm. called to see if I needed help with representation going into the NBA. And that was a big thing for me.
Yeah, the champ. I don't know of anybody of our vintage, having been born in 1958, who was more affected by any figure than Muhammad Ali.
Oh, and man, he was everything to us in Louisville.
He was your
I used to sneak to – I wasn't supposed to ride my bike off the block,
mm-hmm.
but I'd sneak – me and my boys would go and rush to Shawnee Park, which is down the street, where he would get in his convertible Cadillac and talk smack with everybody. Everybody crowd around him. And I knew if some of my mom's friends saw me, they would tell on me. So we could just get a sneak peek at him and ride back. That was a big deal for us. Yeah.
Well, you have this affinity for boxing, and you have these kids doing it. And a lot of these kids, of course, are coming from underprivileged backgrounds. And it'd be better to have them in the ring than out on the streets fighting, probably. And maybe not fighting with their fists either. But yeah. You got some pushback from John Kennedy for having these kids box. He doesn't like boxing. What do you think of a senator who doesn't like boxing?
Well, I tried to explain to John Kennedy back then that it was a grant that we had gotten, and the monies came to us, and I wanted to deal with their social behaviors and make sure that they had a life outside of boxing. Mm-hmm. And these were, you know, at-risk kids mostly. And I think the most unsung heroes in the United States and especially Louisiana are coaches or people who run boxing clubs, because they get some of the toughest kids in the neighborhoods, and they get them and they change them and transform them, and they do an excellent job. And we try to get John Kennedy to understand. We had workshops that dealt with their lifestyles and how they had to protect themselves, and their hands were considered weapons, and and their life after that. And we had classrooms set up and things like that, and it was really well received nationally. But he couldn't see it, and I invited him to come. And Clay Higgins, Congressman Clay King, he attended. He came, and he was very impressed. And he's always been a person that backed us. He backs us up now. I got to give it to him. He backs us up. But John Kennedy wouldn't come. And so we still have a relationship with USA Boxing, locally, statewide, and nationally. And as soon as we get a break from this coronavirus, I'll go back to staging and hosting boxing tournaments statewide.
I like that. And Kennedy, of course, is a guy who I'm sure has never boxed, and he's 69 years old, but obviously he can't bench press his weight. And I found that these guys who have these severe man crushes on the president, Kennedy being the head of the pack, you know, Trump is woefully out of shape, and I don't know of any of these guys who are on the Trump train and going to vote to negate the election who are in good physical condition, Rudy. Not one of them.
Not one of them. And I can always tell a person who, in the boardroom when I'm in meetings, who participated in team sports, because they're not team players. And you got a lot of people in Washington that are not team players. And I wish they would. You know, I didn't hear anything from President Trump's council or the president's council on physical fitness and sports, which we were always a part of. I was on that list for Hillary Clinton's, if she would become president, to be nominated for the director spot for the president's council. Somebody threw my name out there for the second time.
He didn't appoint anybody, did he?
I don't think so, because we hadn't heard anything. And we always had a relationship with the president's council.
Yeah,
since Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the day when he and I met.
He was head of the council at one time.
He was, and he interviewed me along with Governor Edwin Edwards to get this job. And so we always stayed in touch at the time, and now the council's kind of faded.
Rudy, 29 years head of the Governor's Council on Physical Fitness in Louisiana, and here's a good question from Dorcas. Asked Rudy if there was a cabinet-level food person in the federal government. A food person.
In the federal government? Out of HHS, Health and Human Services, they've always had they had a nutritionist section. I've always dealt with the National Institute of Health. They're part of that HHS, as well as the Minority Health Office as part of HHS. And nutrition, I forgot the person's name, but they did have somebody that headed it up. And all the federal conference calls we had in the past, nutrition was a main component of our initiatives. And so I forgot that person's name,
all
but
right.
Yes, they do.
Another
have
Another question,
person.
A good one from Holly in the Garden District about the preponderance of African-Americans who have died of COVID-19. That's a serious issue nationally and in our state.
You have a lot of people of color, black and brown people who are on the front lines working, minimum wage jobs, and those are essential workers on the front line. And three times as likely to contract the virus and three times as likely to die of the coronavirus. And so we have to make sure we protect those people on the front lines that are doing those menial tasks, those menial jobs to make our lives a little bit better. And so, but I go out and preach to these people and underline, would help underline in pre-existing conditions in underserved areas about taking care of yourself on the front end also first, and make sure your employers, we work with employers to help them also set guidelines to protect their workers as well.
Well, in 1960, the average male was 160 pounds in the U.S., and today it's about 200 pounds, and we haven't gotten taller.
In fact, if anything,
gravity's made us smaller. So, Rudy, we've got some tightening up to do if we really want to make America great again.
Eating. We are eating ourselves to death. And in Louisiana, when I came here, the food was so great and good, and you get more greater portions as well. So we got to learn how to scoot back from the table a little bit.
Well, thank you, my friend.
Let's
talk again soon. And congrats on staying the course. Hope that toe heals.
Oh, it better heal.
There you go. We'll have Quinn Hillier with us after this quick timeout to talk about President Trump.